This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
January 22nd, 1973, is the historic day the Supreme Court made abortion legal and available on demand throughout the United States in decisions in Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton. The March for Life began January 22nd the following year as a peaceful demonstration in Washington, D.C. Organizers have continued the march annually since its beginning in 1974. The Walk for Life West Coast began in 2005 with 7,000 participants and has grown exponentially since. Lutherans for Life, LCMS Life Ministries, as well as many LCMS congregations, schools, and universities attend the March for Life in Washington, D.C., the Walk for Life in San Francisco, as well as events in cities across the nation, sending the message that every human life is valued. I'm Andy Bates. Joining me by phone today, Katie Shurman, author and member of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Sherman, Illinois, wife to the Reverend Michael Shurman, katieshurman.com. Katie, thanks for joining us today. I'd love to hear about your attending one of the Marches for Life recently. Which event did you attend?
I went to the March for Life in Washington, D.C., which was on Friday, January 22nd, in the middle of the day. It was actually my third March for Life out in D.C. My very first one was 21 years ago. I went with my mother. We traveled on a charter bus overnight, marched the next day, got back on the bus, drove through the night again, got back home. And that was a memorable experience because it really imprinted on me what value there is in joining your voice or your feet with thousands of others in a united cause, specifically the cause to bring attention to the need that is in our country to properly care for women and children and to love them and to support them financially, physically, emotionally, and also to speak up for the unborn who are persecuted greatly in our nation. They are not able to march for themselves.
What was it that your mother wanted you to see, or why did she want to include you in the march as a youth?
My mom and dad have both been involved with Lutherans for Life for years. One of the blessings of my upbringing, and there are many, but one is that I have childhood memories of going to youth rallies with speakers who are pro-life, going to breakout sessions, even, you know, in grade school where I was educated on that life begins, you know, when the egg and sperm fuse together. And so I grew up knowing this truth. And I think in high school, my mother just recognized that I was old enough and mature enough to do more than just listen. I could actually speak out on my own in support of these children. As a youth, I remember several impressions. One was I remember seeing a sign that a woman was holding that confessed that she regretted her abortion. And in my small town, I know there were women who aborted their children, but I was not aware of them. I didn't know personally of their stories or their experiences. So that was my first time really seeing someone who not only admitted that she had aborted her child, but that she regretted it, that she repented. And my heart filled with compassion because I too have sinned. I too have murdered people in my heart with my hateful thoughts. And Christ died for my sins and Christ died for her sins too. And so it was a privilege not only to march with people trying to bring attention to the issue of abortion and trying to bring attention to the sanctity of life, but it was such a privilege also to march alongside people who have regrets and who would like to see certain wrongs righted in this country. There were so many different denominations represented, so many different schools, all different generations of people, and I really got a sense for yes, sometimes we may be in the minority when it comes to our pro-life views, but we are not alone. And when we join together, when we unite our voices as one, our voice can be better heard. And it helped me remember that even when I go back home, even when I just feel like one small person again, I am never alone in the body of Christ. When we are lights in the darkness, when we speak Christ's true word of love and hope and mercy for all, and when we speak the law, that we are not to murder people, We may feel like we are the only ones speaking out, but we are not. Christ has preserved his church, and he will continue to preserve his church, and he will continue to keep people speaking out for those who are most in need. To go again as an adult, I was able to again experience how even with a blizzard threatening the march, you know, I think there, I think the projection is about 50,000 people came out. That's a lot of people marching in the snow for those who are most vulnerable in our country, and it was a privilege and an honor to be a part of that group.
Were there other things that were different about the march this time around that had changed since you had marched as a youth?
Yes. This time, the original plan was that high schoolers from Concordia Lutheran High School in Fort Wayne, Indiana, they were scheduled to carry the banner, the official March for Life banner that begins the march. In other words, they were going to march at the very front. And you know, I think several of their chaperones and those who were caring for them the morning of the march made a decision that, you know, with the projected forecast, it would actually be wiser to go ahead and leave and start home before the snow hit. So those high school students were unable to participate. But then what we did is we gathered those Lutherans who were there to help carry the banner. We had students from Concordia University, Wisconsin, students from Concordia University, Chicago, from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We even had some grade schoolers from Emmanuel Lutheran School in Alexandria, Virginia. And then we had some pastors and some lay people who all carried that banner at the front of the march. And so this year, I myself did not carry it. I just kind of walked right behind them. It was different because we were at the front. And I didn't get quite the feel for just how many different groups were there. You know, when you're at the front, you can't see everybody behind you. But I did get a little bit more of an impression of the geography of where we were and also the weather, the elements. And because we were at the front, because there was nobody really in front of us who were, you know, chanting or cheering or playing instruments, we Lutherans were able to hear one another, and we chose to sing hymns and liturgical songs and to pray while we were marching. And it was such a beautiful experience. I remember when we marched in front of the Supreme Court building, Reverend Roy Axel Coates, he hollered out, he said, "Let's sing the Kyrie three times." And so we did. We sang to our Lord. We asked that he would be merciful to all of us. We asked that he would be merciful to our nation. We joined our voice in song. And then we confessed the Apostles' Creed and prayed the Lord's Prayer. And so this particular march, I think what I will take away from it, while we were marching with thousands of others, I really felt a strong unity with those of my own church body.
Were you able to attend the Divine Service at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria?
My husband and I, we did attend the Divine Service at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia. And actually, I'm so glad you asked about that, Andy, because that was a precious time for a couple of reasons. One, it's a beautiful thing to be on the receiving end of other people's care. And Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia, they're in a special location to be able to serve the needs of their fellow church members when they come to the march, because they're very close to where the march is geographically. But I find it very moving that that they feed us in two ways. One, they feed us with our Lord's body and blood. They gather us together in our unified confession, and we turn to Christ and his gifts for us to strengthen and to preserve us in our faith, especially as we're about to walk into battle, so to speak. And then they also nourish our body physically by providing a brunch. It was really well organized, and it was special to have a gathering place which preceded the rally and the march itself. It was such a special thing to be reminded of who we are one unto another in Christ. And that really, I think, set the tone then. When we did drive over to the march, we knew who we were or who we are. We know what Christ has done for us, and we know what our vocation is, and that's to speak and to march and to proclaim Christ's mercy to all the world, his forgiveness of sins that he won for us on the cross, and then also to speak a reminder to our neighbors that we are not to hurt and harm each other. We're to support each other. We're to protect each other. We're to sacrifice ourselves for one another. We're to march in a blizzard to help bring attention to those who are not able to march themselves.
Katie Schurman, author and member of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Sherman, Illinois, wife to the Reverend Michael Schurman. KatieSchurman.com. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you, Andy. It is a pleasure to speak with you always.
Joining me in studio today, Tracy Quaytha, manager of LCMS Life and Health Ministries. Tracy, thanks for joining me today to talk about the March for Life and the Walk for Life.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here. I attended the Walk for Life in San Francisco. So it's the first time I've been out there. I've been to the big march in D.C., but went to the other coast this year.
What would you say the turnout? You know, D.C. is generally a pretty big crowd. The West Coast is fairly new to the event, right?
This was, the 12th march that they've had. Mm-hmm. In the past, they've had 10 or 12,000 people. The estimates I've seen have been around 60,000. If I were guessing, I would have guessed more than that.
Wow. What did you expect the Walk for Life in San Francisco to be like? What were you anticipating?
I was anticipating a similar event to Washington, D.C. Perhaps because it's so large in Washington, D.C., you may see some protesters off in the distance holding signs, but not really an organized counter-protest. Mm-hmm. And in San Francisco, that certainly was the case. Hmm. There were people shouting obscenities, throwing things, very vulgar. Just really the anger and the hatred was just, I was really taken aback. Mm-hmm. At one point during the march, we were marching peacefully in the street, and then there is a line of San Francisco police officers, just almost as far as you can see. And then on the other side of them, just hundreds of protesters, quite angry and very upset.
So, hundreds of counter-protesters, right. Mm-hmm. Thousands of walkers.
Right, exactly. So I think it's good in a way that they're there to see the overwhelming peaceful turnout for people in support of life. But it is, in some cases, upsetting to have that anger directed at you. I do think that, especially in light of the protests that are there in San Francisco, it was really important that LCMS Life Ministry was there to support our congregations and our brothers and sisters, really, in California who deal with this. I mean, we don't see much of it. I'm here in the Midwest, and we don't see a lot of protests like that. So it was really wonderful to be there and see their appreciation for our support.
What was the turnout of Lutherans at, from our congregations at this Walk for Life?
If I had to guess, I would say maybe 50 or 60. Mm-hmm. They kind of came and went and introduced themselves. And of course, it's very hard to stay in a group.
Sure.
But yeah, quite a few from not just from San Francisco. There were several that had driven from hours away to be there.
Yeah. And I noticed pictures, several pictures identified pastors from local congregations.
Right.
That was very encouraging to see, and members of those congregations as
right.
well. Did you get to hear any of the speakers?
We did. We were there in time with our banners to kind of be a gathering place for Lutherans, and were able to hear the speakers. Some really speakers of familiar names to people who are in the pro-life community. Martin Luther King's niece, Alveda King, was there. David DeLeiden from Center for Medical Progress, and some other speakers really inspiring the crowd before we set out.
Having attended this event both in D.C. and in San Francisco, what do you think the marches accomplish, the Walk for Life, the March for Life?
It is important. I do want to stress that, just to send the message, the peaceful message, the loving message, is such a contrast to see the love and peace and prayer, and also just the amount of support. Mm-hmm. I think it's easy to listen to some things in the media and feel like you're the only pro-life person in your city, but to see that many people gathered together, all supporting God's word of life, is really almost overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I do want to encourage people, not everyone can go to San Francisco or to Washington, D.C., but I would say every state, lots of cities have events. And if you can't make it to one of the big ones, do something in your own community, just as long as you do something.
To get out there and so that people can
be encouraged, mutually encouraged, so you don't feel like you're the only person taking a stand for life and life-affirming issues. Plans next year?
Well, next year we'll be in Washington, D.C. We'll be having our life conference. We have that every other year. Mm-hmm. So we'll be in Washington, D.C. on January 27th through 29th. So there'll be lots of information coming soon, but we're planning that right now.
Tracy Quatham, manager of LCMS Life and Health Ministries.
Thanks for having me.
Joining me by phone today, the Reverend Marcus Zill, director of LCMS Campus Ministry and LCMSU. Pastor Zill, tell us about the event that you attended this year.
Well, I actually attended two. I did go to our local New Mexico Walk for Life in Santa Fe. Worst places to walk around in Santa Fe, New Mexico. It was beautiful. But I also went to the Walk for Life in the West Coast Walk for Life in San Francisco, which was the day after the one in D.C., which still happened in spite of the snow. We were out in San Francisco. It was incredibly heartening to see so many people coming from all over the place to come to San Francisco, 100,000 people of every race, every creed, secular folks. Christians combined, you know, Jews combined together. That was one of the things I took my sons with me. They're 15 and 18, took them this year, and they commented on how wonderful it was, a chance to be with other Christians in that regard. And many Christians that are from different faiths than our own. In fact, the vast majority of them. We saw there were protesters, counter-protests, along the way at our march, yelling things like, you know, chanting literally, you know, get your crucifix. And then another side would chant, out of our uterus, get your crucifix out of our uterus. And we had a topless protest during the rally. Thankfully, my boys and I didn't have to witness that, but we kind of knew that it was going on with several LGBTQ supporters that were making their case and throwing trash in the air and trying to disrupt things. We saw dancing body part costumes. That's not something you see every day. That was a rather eye-opening experience. But overall, it was an overwhelmingly positive thing. And I know my boys said to me that it was an eye-opener. You know, we do a lot of things where we think it's wonderful to be with other people, as a demonstration of how big the body of Christ is, that sometimes you're left thinking that you're by yourselves. And here you could come together with people from all sorts of different walks for life, but yet, you know, really kind of have a taste of really how much the world and the thinking of the world hates what we're about and the culture of life that we seek to promote.
What do you think the March for Life and the Walk for Life accomplished?
Well, I think, first of all, and obviously the media doesn't always cover it the way that you would like, I think it accomplishes several things. First of all, it demonstrates to the world and those that witness it that that we are not a silent minority. We may be a minority, but we're not silent. And we're not willing to just kind of be relegated to the dust heap of culture, that we have something to say, and that we, you know, I always tell the college students in my position that we need to be willing to stand and promote religious freedom and the freedom of expression for everyone. So it's, in many ways, this life and the culture of life, this is, you know, the pro-life movement is in many ways the civil rights a movement of our generation. And to that regard, it gives us a chance to focus on the importance of our place in society as Christians. I also think it's important. There are many, many people that are doing a lot of things behind the scenes, whether they're working in local pro-life or Lutherans for Life chapters or lobbyists trying to get laws overturned. And I think it also buoys them up and we come out because they work so very hard doing a lot of things that many of us don't have time for. And that when they have a chance to see that the church, that the body of Christ, that can come together from all walks of life to demonstrate unity in this, and that it's worth our time and energy to stand for what we believe in, and regardless of who sees us, I think it buoys them up as well for the continued fight as we seek to make progress on this issue in our country.
The Reverend Marcus Zill, Director of LCMS Campus Ministry and LCMSU, thank you for your time today.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it.
Joining me in studio today, Peter Slayton, social media manager for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Share with us a little bit about your work as a social media manager and what brought you to the March for Life.
Well, my position here at the Missouri Synod is basically to oversee all of the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff, our official news feeds, channels. And so as part of that, they wanted me to cover the event live with our photojournalist, Eric Lunsford. And we flew out. We had originally been scheduled to go to the March for Life in D.C. and the Walk for Life. It's actually called the Walk for Life on the West Coast. The weather canceled the D.C. portion of that. So Eric and I flew out at the last minute to just San Francisco. Got up not too early in the morning, but in the rain, getting out there, getting all our gear set up and everything to basically cover the event live. I was expecting a crowd, and I was not disappointed. It was a very large crowd, a very overwhelming, often claustrophobic at times, especially at the beginning of the march when everybody is crammed together in the Civic Center Plaza, working your way out, but really good energy too. I wouldn't say I wasn't prepared for it, but I wasn't necessarily expecting the joy and the peace mm-hmm. of the marchers, especially contrasted with the protesters that showed up throughout the march and at the beginning during the rally as well. And so definitely overwhelming is definitely something a word that I would use for it. The only major media outlet that we saw there was a local CBS affiliate. And so that was just the San Francisco affiliate, and they were only there to interview David DeLeiden from the Center for Medical Progress, with the Planned Parenthood expose videos. And that was the only reason they were there, is because he was one of the speakers at the rally. Other than that, it wasn't covered at all. So my impressions, what I should have expected was the protesters, mm-hmm. counter-protesters, sorry. But didn't expect that. And when they showed up, it was like, oh, this is real. This is actually happening. This is, in a sense, it's what we're fighting against, but really, as a church, these are the people that we're here to pray for. And it was wonderful to see the protesters responding to the anger and the vitriol coming from the counter-protesters with love, with respect, with prayer. There were a couple moments where trash was thrown at us, and our response wasn't throwing the trash back, but it was a smile. It was, I'll pray for you. It was just a kind look. It wasn't a yelling back and forth on the part of the protesters. So that was wonderful to see, not necessarily something, probably should have expected that as well, given the nature of these marches. Yeah, just wonderful and peaceful.
What was the message of those you call counter-protesters? Was there a common message among them?
Yeah, there were a couple slogans that they shouted repeatedly. Abortion on demand without apology. That was one of the big ones. They had big orange and black signs that had wording of that nature. There were several feminist groups who were also there, and their message was basically, if you don't allow abortion, you're forcing women to be slaves. Something along the lines of a forced pregnancy is forced slavery. Mm-hmm. And so it was essentially that freedom, that liberation. We require abortion in order to truly be free. Which is ironic, because as Christians, we know abortion is bondage and slavery. It's life, that is free, and that life in Christ, that life we only mm-hmm. find in Christ, that's actually true freedom. And so it just really generated some genuine sadness on my part. And I know us LCMS people, as we were marching, that was a topic of conversation, is how do we approach these counter-protesters, how do we respond to them? And it was, look at their eyes. They're angry, they're yelling, but they're hurting. And you can see that. And this is kind of how it's coming out. And so they're saying that they're not hurting. They're saying that this is what freedom looks like. They're saying that this is what they need. And yet when you really look at them, you can see, no, they're hurting. They're in pain. And this is just how it's coming out.
What was the message of those who were there for the walk, those who were there for the march or the walk for life? What was the, was there a common message among those who were attending?
Yeah, the theme this year was why we march. And so there were stories from people at the rally, before the rally, of having had their own abortions and repenting of that sin and their life afterwards, and talking about, you know, why do we march? Well, we march for the unborn. We march for those who can't. We march to be a voice for those who don't have a voice. So that was kind of the overarching theme, trying to get people to understand why are we doing this.
Peter Slayton, social media manager for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on assignment at the Walk for Life West Coast. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Andy Bates.
World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Worldwide KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime, streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Saturday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.